from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Another week, another episode, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
And that's all. That's all we have in the studio this week. The core three members.
Good old Josh is no longer here this week.
I'll tell you what else we don't have in the studio this week.
He's just a freeloader anyway. What?
The 115 degree temperature we're about to experience in about 2 days.
Oh, man.
Really? It's going to get that hot?
That is rough. You know, when I came into the studio today, Norm was sitting here watching the weather, telling me about how awesome the weather
guy
is.
That's like Japanese game show temperature, okay?
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. But weather, normally, I don't care about.
Minus the humidity. In comparison to Japan, never mind.
We can just go hang out in Rich's pool.
Japan is really humid. And
I'll second that.
Arizona's not. Yeah, we can go swim.
So for those who don't know, this show is recorded and streamed live
from the hottest place in the country. Well, no, that would be for Yuma, probably. Yeah. But we're close enough.
Yuma?
Yeah.
What?
Yuma's always like 2 or 3 degrees hotter than Phoenix.
Oh, the hottest place. Okay, so actually the tower is in Cave Creek or something.
That'll probably be Death Valley anyway, so.
Whatever. Point is, it's really friggin' hot out here. Whatever. We just learned to live with it. So, this is a video game radio show, though, not the weather program. I've got at least one thing that I want to talk about based on an article that I put up on Golgatron this week. You have a whole slew of things.
I have about 7 things I'd like to talk about, which we'll probably get to about 3 of them, but that's cool.
Dude, that's great. We'll take one or two of the smaller ones, I guess, before the break.
I can always return them to the velvet-lined vault.
Rich, how about you, sir?
What? I wasn't listening. Sorry.
All right,
right.
Anything that you've prepared for the show today?
There's stuff I want to talk
You're
about.
You're on point today.
No, I was in the chat and stuff, and no, there's stuff I want to talk about.
All right.
I won't say what.
Check to see in chat if anybody has anything there as well.
This
if
you is good. We should keep that shtick up. I like that.
If you want to call.
Just say my name and be like, what?
Yeah. 866-536-1100 if you want to call into the show, if you happen to be listening live. And also head over to Golgatron.com and the forums over there. That's our sister website that, you know, has our articles and our forums and all that good stuff.
Oh,
and another podcast.
I'd like to plant a little seed in the beginning, if I may.
Sure.
So if anybody has encountered a character in City of Heroes called Twixt, please call in. We'd like to talk to you.
Okay.
So what's that number again?
866-536-1100.
So we'll be talking about what that means later.
Does anybody still play that game?
Some people do, including somebody who plays a character called Twix.
You know, a little history of Chatterbox. The original producer of Chatterbox Video Game Radio was a professor that I had while attending UAT. He said to me, before the show ever started, hey, would you like to host a radio show? And I said, hell yes, I would like to host a radio show. So he got myself along with another gentleman, Don, to host the show, and he was the producer. He'd be here every week. He was a big City of Heroes fan. And so the only time I've ever seen City of Heroes running was on his computer when he tried to show me what it's all about. And so once upon a time, talked about it quite a bit.
Really enjoy City of Heroes.
Really?
I don't know why. The academics are drawn to it.
It's strange to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
But okay. Do you want to talk about that now? Or?
No, I think we should leave him in suspense. Maybe give people, you know, a couple segment or two to get
all
used
right.
to.
That's cool. So what else you got?
We've got an Easter egg from an Atari 400 game that apparently...
Atari 400?
400/800.
I've never even heard of the 400.
What?
I've heard of it.
4,000?
Look, 400. Atari 400.
That's not real.
Yes, it is real.
What was it, though? There's Atari 2600.
I don't know. It's half an 800. What do you want me to say?
That doesn't exist.
Okay. This is not the important part of the story.
There's the 5400.
So you can imagine it as a 5400 game.
The 5200.
5200. Is that what it was?
Your
okay.
Comprehension and then there was of the narrative.
And then 78. It was multiples of 26.
Okay. So I'm just trying to think of numbers that
okay, so,
none of them are 400.
Okay. Well, there is.
I'm going to look it up. You talk.
Look it up. Maybe that'll be helpful. All right. Anyway, so there's a version of Donkey Kong that was written by this guy for the Atari 400. And when was it written? In 1983.
Long time ago.
Now, if you guys don't know what Easter eggs are, it's basically a very old, antiquated video game term that basically just means some kind of secret. Like when I was growing up, like the term Easter egg like dates way back to like Adventure Days.
Yeah, well, I mean, Easter eggs are also used in DVDs and other things as well.
Sure, sure. I mean, it's like that's where the word came from.
Something hidden that you can find in a piece of media.
Right. Basically. So it's a secret. Right. So anyway, this is a pretty lame secret.
Kind of like War Games, wasn't that? No, Cloak and Dagger. That's what I'm talking about. Remember the movie Cloak and Dagger?
Just barely.
All right, so I guess there was an Atari game actually called Cloak and Dagger, and then the movie Cloak and Dagger.
I believe you.
And if like you got a very specific score on a specific level or something,
then
or just you played as much as you could, and then you got a very
it gave you an atomic bomb,
something like that. Like if you played and you beat a level such that your score was some very exact amount, and it was very hard just to stay alive that long, but nevertheless or no less to actually get that exact score, then you know it gave you some code that was really important to blowing up the world or something like that, right? And
I really enjoyed fantasizing about having an atomic bomb being dispensed.
It wasn't an atomic bomb, but it was some sort of special code for warfare, I think.
Okay, that's much less entertaining.
And then so they had to take this like genius game-playing kid to get him to play the game to get the code to do whatever he needed to do. All right, anyways, I would say that's an Easter egg, but perhaps a little bit... on a larger scale.
That is on a larger
than
scale.
Than this one.
Yeah. So anyway, without getting into too many more sidetracks, although that was cool, basically, this guy's Easter egg is just makes the person who wrote the program, it just makes his initials appear on the screen, right? So
what's special about that?
So what's special? Well, the interesting thing is what you have to do to actually get this to happen in the game, okay? And it's so elaborate and subtle that the original programmer even forgot how to do it. And so there's actually been a bounty on this game for someone to discover how to do this Easter egg.
Basically sift through the code of the game to find
it. And there are bounties for other such games. And sometimes people don't have the luxury of even, you know, the machine code. But anyway, so this is what you have to do. Play the game, all right, Donkey Kong. You have to get a score that matches certain numbers. It has to be like 33,000 through 33,900.
Okay.
And that score has to also become the new high score. And then you have to kill all of your lives, but the last time that you die, it has to be by dying from falling into a pit.
Okay.
So you have to die the last time exactly in that way.
Which means you have to be on a level that has a pit.
Well, no, it's not right. A pit, just falling too far.
Okay,
so
just falling too far, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to press option 3 times in order to set the difficulty to 4. And then you have to wait a few minutes, and then you'll see the guy's initials show up. So it's just this completely crazy combination of things. I just thought that was quite amusing.
Wow. And so it stayed dormant for 25 or 26 years.
Yes, and only now they've discovered it. But I find it interesting also because the technique used to discover it wasn't all that crazy. I mean, it was just... Oh, you know, I found the machine code from a ROM somewhere, and you can search for the hex equivalents of the guy's initials LMD.
Yeah, and then you just look at the if string.
Or really, I mean, like the binary equivalents, whatever. And then and then you find that, and you find what line references that, and you just work your way backwards.
Yeah, that's it. What's more interesting to me is that someone did that for the amazing bounty sum of $75.
Oh, that's right. Yes, $75. Well,
it's a lot.
It's probably more the puzzle.
If it took him 5 minutes to do it, I mean, I
doubt it took 5 minutes, probably longer than that.
I wrote an article for 20 minutes on a whim once, and it somehow made its way into a book, so.
Really?
Yeah. So.
And did you get $75 for it?
No, I didn't get anything for it, actually. But it was totally worth it.
Well, and I would say that your sum total gain
so
from that is actually a loss.
No, the PR value is tremendous. I would value that at
he's a published author.
Billions and trillions of dollars.
Billions and trillions. Okay, well, as fascinating as that is, let's move on. What do we have? Like another minute?
We have another minute. Oh, here's something we can cover really quickly, actually, in about 2 minutes. So just to follow up from one of our previous conversations. So Fight Night 4, everybody gets to download the original button configuration using the face buttons for free, but they're going to release it in September. So this is
basically
find,
forcing people to get used to it.
This is unprecedented. This is the first time that there's been the makers of a game have the ability to force how people play a game for a certain amount of time and then expose them to some kind of new stimulus, which is, oh, you get this now after you've gotten to play that. It's like a huge experiment.
I think it's great.
I think it's really interesting. I mean, I would rather just have the thing and not have them, you know, experiment in my brain. But other than that, I think it's really interesting.
So, I mean, generally speaking, I've always been one for saying that I hate downloadable content because I'd like to be able to basically crack open the system without a hard drive or memory that's lasted 10 years ago, or, you know, just find it in my grandma's basement, right? And grab some game that I've never played before, pop it in and play it the way it was meant to be played. And so you would assume that if they release some content later, that it's meant to be used with the game.
Right.
And you can't do that if there's no longer an Xbox Live to connect to and you're playing whatever's on the disc that you found in the dusty basement.
It certainly could be lost. Sure.
Right. So that bums me out. But the theory behind all this, I love, because I know what they're trying to do is get people to play in this certain way, force them to do it. And then if they still don't really like it, fine. You can do it the other way. You can use the controls, but we really want you to give this one an honest try. And you can't expect people to give it an honest try if they basically aren't forced to. So they could just wait and not play it until September. But the people who really want to play probably already picked up the game and are dealing with it. Of course, by September, they probably won't be interested anymore and won't download the content. But
I feel like they're taking advantage of it. I'm on an operating
room.
Man,
they don't have to release it at all.
Of course
they
don't.
They're doing it because people wanted it.
But they specifically choose to delay it for a certain interval of time. Why?
I think it's good. I think it's great. Right. Make people suffer for their own improvement. It's their own benefit.
We'll be back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And I'm surprised because Rich has actually managed to pull on away from his throne.
I could have used his mic.
You can't miss him.
Okay, so what were we looking at? An interactive video game review?
I gotta say, Destructoid. It was Destructoid, right?
Yeah, it was Rev Anthony put it together.
It put together a really interesting review of Mad Dog McCree.
Though it gets
all right. So a long time ago, I mentioned on the show anyway. Somebody had put together an interactive YouTube video for Street Fighter, and it was using the actual Street Fighter action figures. So you'd have like Zangief versus Dalsim, or you could select who you wanted to use, and then it would show a fight.
And it was it seemed like hundreds of videos.
It used, I think, over 300 videos for it, because YouTube built in click linking between videos. And so you could basically create a game out of videos saying, you know, answer this question, yes, no. If you click yes, it goes to the next one saying, hey, you were right, and then continues on. Or if you say no and it's wrong, then it could say, sorry, you're wrong, right? And end sort of the tree path of these videos. And so he did a video review of Mad Dog McCree, which, as I hope our listeners remember, was a live video game. So, like, it would just be video of people, right? And you would have to shoot people at a certain time. It was, one of those Laserdisc games.
Right.
And so you'd shoot the bad guys, and if you shot them at the right time in the right spot, then it would cut to this clip of him dying, and then you'd move forward and continue shooting the bad guys. And, of course, there are people you weren't supposed to shoot and whatever. So he built his YouTube review of him standing there, and then you also have to click on his review in order to continue seeing it.
Yeah, how very avant-garde.
You know, so a girl would jump out from behind something with a gun, and you'd have to shoot her. That's crazy.
Say bang.
Because it didn't explain it. When you're watching the video, it didn't explain that this was going to happen.
Yeah, the first time I was watching it, I was like, oh, that was neat. And then I was like, wait a second, I could have clicked on that. And so I, like, click continue, and it, like, starts over, and I kept going through it. I was like, it was fun. And then I shot the innocent person by accident, because I was like, oh, there's a person, click! And I'm like, oh. And then I lost, and then I had to start over again.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, I think they should have given more time for you to react, because YouTube is not exactly speedy.
Is this new games journalism? Is this what I've been missing?
It was
here?
Just interesting, man. Like, we don't have cool ideas like that on Golgatron.
No. I have to give them credit for it.
It was a good review, and he was basically saying, this game really, really sucks, and I'm going to make a video exactly like the game and how bad it is. And you have to click on it. It was fun.
It was cute.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before, and it was an interactive review.
I liked it. It was quirky and good.
So now what I'd like to see is an Easter egg in a game where I start playing the game and then suddenly like some guy shows up out of nowhere and starts like telling me about how the game I'm playing sucks.
Like director commentary?
Yeah, except like they're talking to me. They're like, you know, why are you going down that hallway? The graphics down there really suck. Go down this other hallway. It's much more beautiful.
You know, if that happened, you would go down the hallway they told you not to.
Look, we have a lot of bugs down there. We never actually got this part past standards.
Do you remember that? What was that game on the GameCube that was all like crazy and made you think your controller wasn't plugged in and stuff?
Eternal Darkness.
Eternal Darkness.
Yeah. By the way, never played it.
Yeah,
it's a good game.
I played it for about 20 seconds.
It's supposed to be really interesting, but now that I know it's crazy.
No, the game was really cool.
If people hadn't told me and then just got me to play it, like, just play it.
It's ruined for you now.
Yeah.
It's ruined for me, too.
Anytime something weird happens, I go, it's just the game being weird.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's not just the game, and then you actually die, and you go, no!
And actually, like, they can't really ever do that to you again. You've been, I mean, your fake going crazy in a video game cherry has been popped.
Yeah. Well, so, mine hasn't. It's still secure.
Well, no, but you know that it's coming.
Well, really, it's just a matter of time.
So, like, you can never get surprised in the way that without having expected it.
In the same bit, are we allowed to say cherry popped and coming in the same?
That's what I was wondering. I was kind of laughing to myself.
The same bit. He doesn't know. Yeah, he says yes. He says yes. It's good.
Okay. It's fine.
Okay, we're clear. No problem.
I just wanted to be. Be sure.
It's always good to keep things on the up and up.
All right. So do you guys want me to talk about the weirdness that's going on in Golgotron
now? Yes, I'm so curious about this weirdness. All right,
so Ara doesn't keep up on Golgotron as much as Rich and I do. But I had written an article on Sunday, which we released on Monday, just saying nostalgia is a cold-hearted bitch. And the theme of the article was that nostalgia – well, first of all, the reason I wrote this –
Well, first of all, how dare you talk about my friend like that?
So the reason I wrote it was because I was looking through the daily news and I saw that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Turtles in Time was being re-released with newfangled graphics. And to be honest, I think I'd already heard of it, but it became fresh in my mind seeing this article in the review that compared the old version to the new version. It certainly looks a lot better. And to be quite honest, when I was a kid, I played that game a lot. It was one of the best games in the arcade. We played it a whole bunch, and I'm sure I wasted a lot of money on it, and I thought it was great. But my article is saying that when these new games get released, lately... I mean, the last few years, there's been a big surge of revisiting old games. And more often than not, and to be clear, I haven't actually measured, but more often than not, I believe, these games are actually pure trash. Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, or any Mutant Turtles brawler. It's boring. You just run around and you hit stuff.
I want to argue with you, but I also want you to finish the story first. So I'm just expressing my dissent now for saving
That's
it
cool.
for later.
Let me just continue with my point, though. So a lot of games are getting re-released, like Doom, right? There's been a lot of progress in the world in terms of gaming since these games have come out. So I don't want to play Doom anymore. I couldn't move the mouse vertically. There wasn't any multiplayer going on, although some Doom had some multiplayer. But it wasn't interesting. Like, we've progressed. We've made better games. And going back, it's kind of like going back and saying you have a better driving experience by driving the Model T. You might have a unique experience. It might be full of novelty. You might remember it fondly. But actually, you need to realize that, no, it kind of sucks, right? And so I just want people to realize this nostalgia that you feel for a game that gets you to plunk down a few bucks, it's probably not worth it. You're probably just going to say, oh, wait, yeah, there's a reason I don't play this game anymore.
I have an analogy.
I already gave you the car analogy. So
I know, but I have like a...
How fast do Model Ts go? 20?
Slow.
I have another one that's cool, though.
Okay, go for it.
So this Edmunds.com once, they took, you know, the Magnum P.I., the Tom Selleck?
The car or Tom Selleck?
The car in the show.
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
The Ferrari?
Yeah.
Well, they pitted that against, like, a modern minivan. Guess which one was faster?
The minivan?
Correct.
Yeah. All right.
Okay,
so,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So that actually is a perfect point. And now, there are some games that stand the test of time, right, to be cliche. Certainly there are some. And at no time do I say that all games meet this death that I claim happens with most games. It's just a lot of companies are pushing out this nostalgia, and to save you, our readers, or in this case, our listeners, the trouble of wasting both time and money on this, I say, hey, stop for a second, stop listening to your gut and listen to your head, because usually you don't, and just say to yourself, would I actually play this game? Do I enjoy pressing A on character after character after character? Like, is that a fun experience for me? And if you're honest with yourself, you'll realize that no, it's not. And you'll move on. Now, there is some value. Like, when I have kids one day, if I have kids one day, I'm going to want to push on them these old games that I played, because I don't want them to suddenly go into Xbox 360 land or whatever. Like, I want them to play the old school games and sort of get used to controls and stuff and kind of go through the history that I went through, partially because it'll make me feel like an awesome veteran where I can give them all sorts of history, but also because I'd like the idea of them learning in a way that I did, although surely with an escalated time frame. So anyway, Jorge, another author for Golgatron, very serious about his gaming. Very. And he studies the minutiae of games in a way that I can only applaud him for doing this. But he didn't quite catch that I was intentionally generalizing. And he thought that it was a bad thing that I was generalizing. And he took it personally when I mentioned, or it seemed that he took it personally anyway, about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, when in fact my article had nothing to do with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It was just an example of a trend.
And why did he not like what you said about Teenage Mutant the Ninja Turtles?
He originally wrote a comment on my article and then decided he would write a full-blown article that ended up being bigger than my original. So I'm not going to go into his opinion so much. You can go read it if you want at Golgatron.com. I believe the article is something like Alon is Always Wrong. That would be the title. So go ahead and take a look at that if you want. But the interesting thing that's happened here is that now we have this, like, this website infighting where people think that we all hate each other because we're writing these opposing articles and grar, right? Catfighter.
This is going to supplant new games journalism as the true new games.
Perhaps. Anyway, Jorge, I still love you. I do.
We'll call it Nouveau Games Journalism.
It's clearly a difference of opinion, but I worry that he either didn't understand my intention, or he just chose not to, or he was just looking for some conflict to make it exciting on the website, which would be my number one hope, but I doubt that's the case. Because we try to be real, right? So, keeping it real.
So, keep it real all the time.
So do you want to just tell me how I'm wrong as well? When we get back?
You're wrong about something, and by the time we come back, I'll have figured out what that is.
Okay, good. Well, we'll be right back to hear it.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
And we're back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. You okay, Rich?
I'm good. That's really funny.
Fantastic. Now, one thing I didn't mention on this episode of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio is that I want you to visit uat.edu. That's the website for the University of Advancing Technology, a grand old sponsor of ours. They make this show happen. And so go visit, learn what they can do for you, you know, in terms of going to school and becoming a developer and all that good stuff. Now, I was telling you, Ara, about what I wrote on Golgatron.com about nostalgia being this temptress that you should just not pay attention to. Turn a blind eye.
Now, I've known
to her.
I've known nostalgia for many years, and you continue to talk this way about her.
Yes,
it's. I think that you're quite a coward for talking behind her back, for one, and she's going to be very angry.
It's funny because I feel like I'm staring her in the face.
Well, it's
through your eyes.
So I was. So as I was thinking about nostalgia, and I was thinking about what you were saying, I actually find that I can only argue about what you're saying in a tangential way.
Okay.
So basically, I don't think that games are necessarily better now overall than they were many years ago, or even, dare I say, 10 or 15 years ago.
Okay, they are, but keep going.
I don't think that they are overall. Now, there are some new types of games that we've experienced recently that we haven't had before. And certainly the quality of graphics overall has gone up, but in terms of just the pure games themselves, I don't think that as a whole they've necessarily gotten considerably better.
Really?
Yeah. Now,
do you want to go back and play Frogger?
No. And this is what I mean. All right.
So think of the biggest games.
So here's the thing. Like, a lot of the games that people hold in high regard as far as nostalgia goes, I don't. So I don't know. Maybe this is simply a side effect of the fact that I'm just so critical of games that I like just as many now as I did then. You know, and because, for example, like, I completely agree with you on the topic of, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The standard, you know, like, Golden Axe style, you know, beat 'em up. That Konami introduced, right, starting with Turtles, and they basically remade that game with, like, several different themes, right? That's the kind of game I really think you can only really, what's the way to put it? I have to be really careful about my words.
See, here. I'm willing to say that a brawler could be done well.
I think that it could be done well, right? But that type of game, and that game specifically, it's awesome the first time you experience it.
And just never again.
Right? And never again. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there are some people that just can't get enough of that thing. But, I mean, you were right with that criticism of, yeah, there's for those games, there's not a lot of technique to them. You just press the same button over and over again.
Yeah, and
they're just designed to be quarter crunchers, really. They're not designed to be, like, in my opinion, really, really serious games. Yeah. It's not like Street Fighter.
And that's one point that Jorge made, that it, you know, its intention was quarter crunching. And my argument is that it doesn't really matter what its intention is. It's still a game that's being presented to
right,
me.
Right, but because that was its intention, I would argue that that's not something to be proud of in game design terms.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the thing is, though, a lot of games, like a brawler today could be made better, but there needs to be more interaction with the game. Like,
example, Castle Crashers.
People seem to like that. I honestly have never played Castle Crashers, but
yeah,
that's fun.
I'm not going to do that, but let me explain the other side of my position, right? A game like Street Fighter, right, has completely revolutionized the way people think about fighting games.
I assume you're talking about Street Fighter 2.
And right, Street Fighter 2, right, when that came out, and the fighting, I don't believe that the fighting game genre has really necessarily even gotten better since then.
Yeah, and actually in the comment on one of my articles, I pointed out that puzzle games and fighters are a little bit immune to this problem. Puzzle games almost universally, right? Of course, there's still going to be crappy puzzle games, but it's rare that someone takes a puzzle game and then improves on it such that the original is no longer good. Like, it's a base concept, and they might change the graphics a bit,
right?
But the base one is still just as good.
Right.
For the most part.
Like, there's myriad variations of Tetris. There are very few that are actually really better than Tetris.
Exactly. They're either nearly identical or, you know, totally different.
But I don't think that it's just because of its puzzle games or its the other genre you mentioned.
Well, I said fighters, but there has been a lot of progress in fighters, too. I mean, remember, was Karateka basically the original fighting game? Back then, that sort of game, Karateka and Karate Champ, are examples, right? And then Fighting Street or Street Fighter, the original Street Fighter.
Well, I know, but my point is that the passage of time, I mean, what this really comes down to, what I'm arguing here, is that the passage of time does not necessarily net you any kind of increase in the kind of product that you may have been remaking over and over for so many years.
Perhaps I'm being too literal here, but clearly it's not the time that does it. It's the iterations of similar games that follow it.
Right. Well, it's something that, A, I don't think necessarily depends on time, and B, definitely doesn't necessarily depend on technology.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
Apart from those things, then yes, I think everything is getting better.
Things are getting better because we're designing better games. So,
But see, that's the thing. There's so much crap out there, it's hard to say that. There's just so much.
There is a lot of crap.
The crap just looks better now.
No, but let's use fighting games as an example of progress, right? Like, from the original Street Fighter introduced the idea of special moves that were, you know, superhuman, shooting fireballs and dragon punches and stuff, right? Not real, but it was done absolutely horribly. It's a horrible game.
Well, of course, I'm not saying that an advance can't be made, but then also don't forget that in Street Fighter IV, they've essentially gone back to the timings and pacings and movements of Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, well, Street Fighter 2 did something very new, and it even improved upon itself, right, through the various iterations of Street Fighter 2. And then, for the most part, it stayed fairly similar since Street Fighter 2 for all the fighting games. But even between that, like, you look at a game like Guilty Gear and its depth, And you don't get that in Street Fighter 2. Like, clearly there's more to Street Fighter 2 than I know, and Jorge is the one to tell you.
Something. My point is that it's not necessarily better. Yes, I mean, we can always do more of things in games, and I do agree that generally games are having more of a lot of things in them as we go on. But my point is that that's not necessarily better in and of itself.
Well, simplicity has its value.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't even just, like, relegate that to, like, the back closet of it has its value. I think that there's quite a bit of value. I think it's a very important element in games. I think that what games are all about, just like John Carmack said, right? It's about design is about what you don't do. It's not about what you do. And I think that there's a tremendous amount of truth in that statement. You know, I think it's really important.
No, and that's fine. But when you're looking at the broad scale, right? And that's what I've been looking at, the full 30 years that video games have been around, right? Or 30 plus. Right, there's been a lot of improvement. If you really go back to these games that are being re-released as classic games, quite often they're not good. And like, I'm even willing to go back to games that I really loved. You look at the first Super Mario Brothers. I have no interest in playing the first Super Mario Brothers. It's been completely eclipsed by its sequels.
Well, I have a very short list of games that are old and older that I don't think have been done better at. If that makes any sense.
No, I understand what you're saying. Very, very few games have actually not been improved upon, is what you're saying.
But also, those are very, very important ones.
Yeah, no, and...
Right?
Yeah, and maybe we shouldn't harp on this anymore.
There are always exceptions.
Yeah, and I made it very clear that this doesn't apply to everything. But the general statement is, we're being bombarded with these classic games, and people should realize that quite often... they're not that great.
A lot of them really sucked, but I guess what it really just comes down to for me, at least, is that I don't find myself playing more games than I used to or wanting to play more games than I used to. There's always just a few that are really, really good that are out now, and just like I play a few games per year, probably less than 10 that I would say I really, really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And it hasn't really gotten more or less than that over time.
Yeah. The real point that I was making is that we have an emotional response to games that we used to play, and we forget just because of that emotion that it's very possible they sucked.
I do think that you definitely have a point in that your nostalgia of games, the game improves over time the longer you've been away from it. I definitely think that's true.
Your memory of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've been shocked a lot of times when I've played old games. I've gone through that so many times that now...
Which is exactly his whole point.
Right, but there are some, once again, there are some games...
And he says there are exceptions, that there are games,
you know,
that
what?
Are still good.
Like I said, I'm not going to make that an exception.
Yeah.
To me, it's far more common than that. But.
Okay. So that was the big thing that happened in the Golgosphere recently.
So we both think Jorge is wrong, happening. But in different ways.
No, I mean,
I think even in good games, though, like even in good games, nostalgia, you think they're better than they were. Like I can go back and play games that I liked that are still good, but even playing them again, they're not quite as good as you'd think in your head. So I think even on the really good games, I think the rule still applies, that nostalgia makes you think they're better than they are.
Yeah, and part of this is the newness of any experience, right? It makes you feel great about it, and so you have that built in your brain that, oh, this was fun. Then you go back, and it's like, oh, it's not fun to actually play it when I know exactly what you're supposed to do. Although some people argue that even if you know exactly how to go through like a mist or something, you still love it.
No, wait, what makes it not fun is that you forget how you played, and you forget what kind of garbage the game would have to make you go through to have any enjoyment of it whatsoever. That's the part that sucks.
All right.
You think you remember playing the game for an hour straight and getting like halfway through the game, and you play it again and you die 3 times in the first 10 seconds.
Yeah, actually, part of that is that we were younger when we played, and when you're younger, you're more apt.
It's a time warp.
Yeah. Well, when you're younger, you're more apt to appreciate repetition or to be accepting of it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that sort of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, just brawler.
What did we do? We played Ninja Turtles for 4 hours.
You can handle when you're kids. Anyway, we'll be back with something else.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox, Video Game Radio.
You know what's back?
What else is back?
Me talking about UAT.edu.
Yes, that's very
the true. Website for the University of Advancing Technology. That never gets old. Never, ever gets old. University of Advancing Technology at
Indeed.
UAT.edu. All right, so I definitely want to move on from what we were talking about before.
Yeah, me too.
Spend perhaps a little bit too much time on that.
That felt a little laborious.
Now, you had hinted at, you had foreshadowed a little discussion about someone named Twixt.
That's right.
On the Innertrons.
So,
tell me more about this.
Right. So it's not some kind of new crazy candy bar. It's basically there's this professor. He's from Loyola University. His name's David Myers, and he studies how people interact in online games. And so he basically wrote this paper called Play and Punishment, The Sad and Curious Case of Twixt, where he basically used the example of this character he created called Twixt in the game City of Heroes to basically argue this point that was, I believe what it was that you can't, let's see here, that even if you play a game by the rules, social constructs that people create will will supersede those rules, right?
And so in an online environment where you interact with other real people, the context of the game might take a backseat to the social interactions?
Right. And okay. and basically that, you know, like social culture overrules the rules of the game.
Give me an example there.
So, well, here's what he did, basically, is he set out to play this game ostensibly just under the rules that the designers supposedly set forth. And so what he did was, okay, he's this character Twixt, he's a superhero, and he's going to defeat villains. So everywhere he goes, he's going to defeat villains.
And in this game, there's clearly a group of good people and a group of bad people, right?
Right. And apparently there is a exploit in the game where you can kill people in a certain way where you don't get credit for it. It actually levies on the people who died a fine, basically, of experience points. So it basically says, oh, you know, the past, you know, so many hours of progress you made in that game level-wise, okay, that's erased.
You call this an exploit.
This is an exploit because what David Myers was doing was he basically said, okay, this character is going to defeat villains at every opportunity that's allowed by the game. And so what he interpreted, or what he conveyed as interpreted, the rules as is, well, if the game lets you do it, it must be intentional and designed in. And so if I can use this to my advantage, I will. And so some of the things he did, for example, was there were places that were PvP zones where basically, you know, the
peer versus peer.
Yeah, the enemies, what am I saying? The heroes and the villains
fight each other.
Could actually fight each other. Thank you.
Whereas there are other parts of the world where that's not allowed.
That's PvE.
And, right. But they've decided, just by custom, that there are some of these zones where they can fight each other to not fight each other and just to chat. Right? And so this area has kind of, like, by culture, been defined as, okay, well, you don't fight here, even though the game lets you.
What?
People don't fight there. And so what he does is he goes in there and he fights people.
And sounds
another,
good.
Another that's thing really he does funny, is there's a spell that lets you basically teleport people from one point to the other. And so what he does is, apparently, there's also these zones where things will shoot at you. And so he basically teleports villains to a place where they're going to get killed. And this is universally regarded as griefing and an exploit, and nobody does it.
Basically, a dick move.
Yes, an enormous
dick move.
That's
really funny.
And so it's kind of annoying because he does this, and then he's saying that this is somehow some kind of example of how people gang up on you if you don't do the socially acceptable thing. But the mistake that he made is he assumed that just because you can do it in the game, it was actually literally intended and designed to be used as such, because apparently he assumes that, I guess, the designers are omniscient and they couldn't ever make a mistake. What I think is that it's a loophole in the game, and that the designers did make a mistake to allow you to do this, and it's not really worth their time to fix it.
Wait, how can it be a loophole if
the designers didn't intend them to go there and just talk like it's Second Life?
No, I'm not talking about the talking part. I'm talking about the specific exploit of actually warping
the
someone from one
thing?
To... Yeah.
So they shouldn't have included a teleporting ability.
Well, they made a mistake is my point. It's a bug. I don't think it's
an entire ability is a bug?
They created a power and you're saying they shouldn't have?
That's my opinion.
Well, okay, maybe
that's not a bug. Clearly, they intended to make
it. Maybe it's just a bad game element, but it's not a bug. They obviously had to
What is the definition of a bug, Rich?
Something that was in the game by accident.
Right.
You're exploiting something. So if they made
it. Was in the game by accident.
Well, if they consciously made the decision, so we're going to have an ability and we're going to give it a name and we're going to let you cast that ability on enemies to teleport them from place A to place B, that's not a bug. They did that on purpose.
Yeah. I'm with Rich here.
No, the function is not a bug. Okay. Do you know what? If you just want to say like the opposite of what I'm saying, then you can just have a conversation with Alon, and that's going to be a great show.
No, I mean, you were just agreeing with us that the function is not a bug.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. You don't let me clarify my point, you see.
I'm asking for you to do so.
Okay, thank you. So basically, the fact that if people actually did use that technique, it would ruin the game. And so everyone playing the game decided we're not going to do that because it's a real dick move. And so nobody does it except for this one guy.
So even when they're actually fighting each other, nobody ever uses that ability ever.
Look, I'm not going to give you statistics, okay? People who play the game and enjoy it don't like to do it. And he's been universally reviled because of his behavior. And my point is that it's not because his behavior doesn't follow the norm, as David Meyer says, because cheap moves happen all the time in games like Street Fighter. And that's never a problem. It's because this is an actual exploit that this guy took advantage of, and nobody who's actually placed for enjoyment actually uses that exploit because it ruins the game. And in that sense, it's a bug, because I don't think that the designers intended the game to be played that way.
I'd have to look into it more, but it sounds like he's just using an ability that's in the game.
Well, look into it more.
Maybe it's just a broken
I don't have
game
anything
element.
Else to say on this subject.
I'm willing to say that it wasn't intended. That's fine.
That's my point.
But the terminology, I would not refer to as a bug.
But I would.
Didn't you say this also caused other problems, like beyond just pissing people off, like this ruined people's lives or something, you said?
Well, it's a serious griefing action on you, because it nets you a debt of experience points when he kills you in the manner that he kills people.
Okay.
Right?
So what was his conclusion after this experiment?
Well, his conclusion was basically that social cultures develop in games in such a way that if you do something differently than what they're used to, they'll ostracize you. But what I'm saying is that he made a mistake in assuming that his actions were just different actions. They weren't just different actions. They were actually completely unfair actions that he took advantage of repeatedly.
I'm curious. I'm kind of on the professor's side here.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I guess you like Ponzi schemes, too. That's cool.
Well, Ponzi schemes aren't as bad as people think, but
I mean, it sounds, I'd have to look into it more as well, but it sounds like he's just breaking the social norm of not talking to people in the PvP area where they talk to each other.
Well, you know what? Why don't you go talk to someone or research yourself and find out the truth and come back to us?
Because I don't play.
No, but really, if a game allows you to do a certain thing, then sure, maybe it wasn't intended by the developers, but then it's their folly, right? They
missed
it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They made a mistake.
And
this guy's assuming that they could not have made a mistake.
Well, it's not that they could not have, it's that they...
Well, that's the assumption he's operating on.
If it's so clear, like if it's accepted that people don't do it, then clearly they didn't overlook it, and they're aware of it as well, because you would assume that the developers are aware of what's going on in their game. And so...
Right. Well, I think that they probably didn't do anything about it because the culture evolved around it, you see.
And that's interesting, but they might also be waiting to see, would somebody ever use this? And maybe it's just the fact that he uses it so much that is bad, but by itself.
Well, I think that there was some statistic in the article that I read that he basically he killed about 600 villains for like every 30 times he got killed.
Yeah, and I think that's great. Him playing it basically, I'm in this universe, I'm a good guy, I should be killing bad guys.
And nobody wanted to play with him, and people wished cancer on him and other violent acts.
See, and I think that's hilarious, because what they should have done is just, okay, I'm a bad guy and you're the good guy, I'm supposed to try to kill you. And clearly they could move to a new server or something, right, if they really don't like him.
Okay, or they could just not hang out in the PvP area.
Yeah, but this is very much like what Will Wright did, and we've talked about this in the past, where he, a long time ago in, I think it was the game Tribes, he decided, you know what, this game is all about killing each other. Let's bring it down a notch. Let me try to just talk to people and say, hey, let's not kill each other, man.
All right, well, let me ask you guys a question. If that's just as okay, that kind of activity in that game, as like cheap hits in Street Fighter, why are cheap hits in Street Fighter not universally reviled? Why is there not one person who does cheap moves that nobody wants to play with?
Because there are people that are really good and could probably beat them anyways.
Yeah, because the people who play those games, first of all, it's a very well-rounded game and it doesn't have a lot of that.
That's right. It doesn't have this huge mistake in the game. It doesn't have this huge gaping hole.
But people are also up to the challenge of taking on this character.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with it, though. Well, yeah, there's no hole to exploit. This other game has an exploit.
Well, wait a minute. If he can teleport people, then other people can teleport him.
Yeah. I'm assuming he's not the only person in the entire game with this ability.
I guess you guys just don't understand.
I don't.
No, it's not that we don't understand, man. We disagree with you. That's okay.
No, because if there's no reason why you can explain.
It's about the social norm, which is what the guy says.
All right, I give up.
His experiment is totally valid. And
it's absolutely not.
I think it's great that he would do that. And it's the sort of thing that I would like to do. And I should go play that game just to mess with people.
Well, play with it. See what happens.
That'd be fun.
That's fun.
I don't have an inherent desire to actually piss people off, though. So, anyway, what are you excited about? Something you want to talk about?
Lewish posted on Twitter that he's going to release Superhero Version 3 very soon.
I don't know what that means.
That has me excited. It's for my phone.
Oh. Ooh.
New build of Android, basically.
All right. Well, on that note, we'll end the show. We'll be back next week, as always. And once again, we'll remind everyone to go to Golgatron.com as well as ChatterboxGameshow.com. You know, see more about what we're doing, what we're writing, what we're thinking, head on the forums, that sort of thing. Anything else, Sara, before we go?
Nope.
Hey, you want to take us out, Rich?
Sure.
Take us out.
That's all I got. I got nothing.
See, he didn't get it. He hasn't been there, so he doesn't know.
What?
All right. We're done. Good evening, folks.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.